It's always good to be with the people of God.
Yes.
And I thank God for the privilege. I have many people have been a blessing to me in America.
Amen.
Many people. And we've made very good friends. Very good friends. People who love us. Who believe in what God has called us to do. And who are praying for us. We have many. But there are two people in America that God had led me to, who had influenced my life, my ministry. The two. And when I have problems, I go to them, share it with them, they pray with me.
Amen.
And I thank God for them. One is Mr. Morgan. I always call him number two. God number one in America, and he's number two in America. And then the third one is Brother Richardson. You know a good friend. A good friend. When you are in difficulties, a good friend will stand with you. And so is Pastor Richardson. We've gone through many storms in a foreign country. We know God with us. We know that. But it's always good to have somebody whom you can talk to.
Yes, sir.
He may not have the answer, but you'll find a relief.
Hey.
So he had been a blessing, encouragement, and a relief to us. And we thank God for Pastor Richardson. So when we think about a church to join, we talked about this church because we know the pastor. He had been with us, and we thank God for him. For some of you who had not met me, the best message is to share salvation, how I came to be saved. I've enjoyed the preaching, the singing. I see if I should take them all and place them in Africa. I mean, that is what I was thinking. If I can get these people and place them in Africa, the preaching and everything, I think many people will get to heaven. So you Americans, you are enjoying. God has given you a blessing. It's a blessing to just sit here and listen to the preachers, the singing and everything. So inspiring. So it motivates you to want to do something more for Jesus. So you are blessed. And I thank God for every preacher, the singing. I thank God for you. As if you should not stop. Continue. I thank God for you. There's a man in America, anytime I'm talking to him, he says, Brother Solomon, I know where you are coming from. I don't know. I don't think he knows where I'm coming from. All of you, we sang a song to thank God. The last song they sang. They sang, they should thank God. If there's anybody who should give thanks to God and praises to God, among all of you, it's me. If you know what Jesus saved me from, I should thank him so much.
Yes,
this afternoon, a preacher was preaching here, preacher North Singer, and he spoke about grace of God, how he blessed my soul. And to top it all, when he said, the price of our grace is the blood of Jesus.
Hey,
that really touched me. You know why? I was lost. I had no hope on my way to hell. Rescued by the blood of Jesus. Deceived by Satan. I had my own God. I was serving and worshiping a stone god. Stone. A big stone. That stone was erected right in the center of my house. To this stone God, we will all bow. When we want to worship, we'll go to the stone God. And when we get to the stone God, there'll be chickens all around. And we'll hold a chicken. And as we hold the chicken, we'll be talking to the stone God. And all at a sudden, we'll tear the head of the chicken. When you tear the head of the chicken, you see blood, hot blood, oozing out of the chicken. Then you drain the blood of that chicken on that stone God. And when the blood is drained on the stone God, you leave the headless chicken to be jumping up and down, struggling to die. If that chicken dies with the stomach facing the sky, it means that idol God has accepted the sacrifice. But if that chicken dies with the stomach not facing the sky, you keep on killing chickens, until one dies with the stomach facing the sky. I thank God today, it is no more the blood of chicken.
Amen.
It's the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Pastor North Singer preached, that blood purchased my grace. That blood saved me. And I want to thank God for that. I thank God for missionaries. Missionary was preaching and he talked about the blood of Jesus, God's Son. While he was preaching, I was thinking about the blood of the chicken. When he said God's Son, then I said he's talking about a human being who is greater than a chicken. I was talking about God only Son who shed his blood for me. He gave an invitation. Anybody who wants to trust in that blood, and he quoted in my own language, John 1:29. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
That got the job done. Gave an invitation. People were walking forward. I wanted to go so bad. And a thought came to me and said, you take a step and your father's God will kill you immediately. So I held to my chair. I wouldn't go. People were going forward. I wouldn't go. I was afraid if I ever take a step, get out and walk, I would die. My idol God would strike me to death. But God gave me courage. Step out. And I said, if I die on my way to the missionary, I saw the missionary's wife standing, singing. While she was singing, tears were running down. Tenderly, softly and tenderly, he was singing that song. And I saw tears running down. And something told me, look, she's crying for you. Then I said, I'll go. I said, if I die on the way, that missionary God should know I was coming to him when I died.
Hey!
The moment I took the first step, I didn't die. Second step, I didn't die. I knew the missionary God is greater than my idol God.
Hey!
I went there and gave my life to Jesus.
Hey!
He saved me that day. Once saved, always saved. I was changed my life. Friends, you're in America. Don't be deceived. Only one way. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. The same Jesus, the same blood that saved this poor, wretched African can save every white person.
Amen.
He saved me and I thank God for it. Are you saved? If you are, we'll meet together in heaven.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Tonight I want to speak One pastor told me to preach. I said, no, I'm not ready, pastor. He was talking to me. I said, pastor, I'm not ready. Then it dawned on me. I said, all these great preachers, what can I preach? I'll preach the Bible. I'll preach Jesus, like my friend told me this afternoon. He said, God, I'll call him. He will preach Jesus. That's all we need to preach. Jesus is the one who saved me. He's the one I'm going to preach about. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me. Like Pastor said, you have to listen to me attentively. And I pray the Holy Spirit of God will help me so that I will speak so that you can understand. If you have your Bible, you want to turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. I'll read a few verses from here. Romans chapter 7. I'll be reading from verses 7 to 25. Romans 7. Verses 15 to 25. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. I'm now in verse 17, going to 18. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. When I became a Christian and I gave my life to Christ, I thought life is going to be smooth. I thought all my problems would be solved. But it didn't take me long to know that to be a Christian is a battle.
Yes, sir.
To be a Christian is a struggle. Big struggle. Inwardly, I wanted to please God that had saved me. I want to live for him. I want to do what pleases him. I know I'm not my own anymore. I belong to him. And I want to live for God. But you know what? Every attempt I make, every desire in me to want to serve God end up in failure. Life became so frustrated. I was full of frustration, discouragement. I just want Christ to have it all. And I want every part of my body, everything in there, to be for God.
Amen.
That's all I want. That was the desire in me. And that's what I want to do. But I failed many times. But I thank God that I wasn't saved by works. My salvation is based on what Christ had done. If I were to be saved by works, I would never make it. I don't know whether you have experienced what I'm saying. The inner struggle to please God, to live for God. The battle within. I really believe that every child of God ought to have a yearning, inner yearning, to do better for God. It should be there if you're saved. That desire to want to yearn for God and to do His will should be inside you. But the fact that you have that desire shows you are saved. Yes, it shows if that desire is there to please God, to yearn to do more for God inside you, then you are saved. But if it's not, you are still in the hands of the evil one, Satan. So when I read about Romans chapter 7, and I read the struggle of Paul, if Paul can go through this, Paul, the great apostle, a man of God, if he had gone through this, then I'm in the right path. But the job is this. Paul did not live a life of defeat. He lived a life of victory. He faced all this. He went through all these struggles. But with all this, say, I thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who delivered. He does. And I want to find the secret how God will give me victory in my Christian life. That's what I want to talk about today. How to have victory. Not that I have gotten victory yet, but this is the part I'm going to take. And it is in the Bible. If you know how I want to live for God, if you know how I want to be to live a victorious Christian life, if you know the yearning in my heart, you pray more for me. I want to do all that pleases God so that I can see God more and God will become tangible in my life. That's all I want. I thank God He didn't leave me alone. He's given me the Holy Spirit, who is to be with me and to help me. And I thank Him for His word, the Bible. I'm going to follow that. I want to say this again. I believe that every saved, born again believer ought to long and yearn for a victorious life. Yearn for it. Desire for it. But let me say this. The battle will be on until Jesus comes. As long as we are in this body, the battle will be on until Jesus what? Comes. But I want to say this. Victory is assured. Victory is what? Assured. You win here, Satan will come with another one. We'll do that until He comes from glory and take us rapture. That's when we'll be just like Him.
Right.
Yes. I believe the Bible teaches that living a victorious life is possible. It's possible. God had given us all that we need. The Holy Spirit is in us. He strengthens us, encourages us, directs us. God Himself, He said, I'm with you. If God be for us, who? Victory is alone. Yes, there's a battle to be fought. There's victory to be won. With Jesus and us, I can do all things. Through Christ, who what? Strengthens. We can. Yes, we can. Friends, whatsoever we are going through tonight, whatsoever it is, there's victory ahead. Don't be discouraged. So I was reading. I want God to give me His own formula for victory in life. God's own formula for victory. I want God to give it to me. And then I started reading my Bible and came to a place where I saw, if I follow God's formula for victory, I'll be victorious. And this is where all of us who are struggling as Christians, the battle we are going through, the struggle within, if we follow God's plan of victory, we'll win. We will what? Win. So you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Then the victory is outlined. On June 22nd, 2012, I preached this same message in Africa, in my language, not in English. And God blessed me through it, and God spoke to me. So this is what I found, how to win the battle. How to be a victorious Christian. If we are going to be a victorious Christian, God said we should follow this. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I'll read verse 13 and 14. Please watch. Verse 13 and 14. Verse 13 says, watch ye. Stand fast in faith. First, be watchful. Second, stand fast in what? In faith. Don't let Satan push you around. Be strong. And third one. Quit you like what? Man. Don't be baby. Be a man. A man in spirit. A man in God. With Christ with you, stand like a man. Be courageous. Be bold. Amen?
Yes,
amen? Stand, be watchful, stand in faith, and quit like men. And then say, be strong. Verse 14, let all your things be done with charity. Love. Paul writing to the church of Corinth. He himself has been in this struggle. And he knows every believer must go through what? The struggle. So he wants to give us a part of victory. So he wrote to the church of Corinth. So watch for this. By the authority of God's word, he gave these five imperatives, five commands, now which every believer, if we observe it and act on it, our life will not be the same. Oh yes, our life will not be the same. I won't be able to speak on all the five, but I want to speak on the first one tonight. Watch ye. Christians, if you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, and there's a desire for you to win victory in life and not live a life of defeat, you might be watchful. I must need to be what? Watchful. You know, I'm not an American. English is not my language. English is a second language. So when I read, be watchful, I wanted to find the true meaning of the word being watchful. You know what I found? Watch ye. When God said, watch ye, what did he mean? It means everybody who wants to live a life of victory, not a life of defeat, be on your guard. Be on your what? You don't have them in here in Africa. We don't have them in here. We have them in Africa. We call them the guardian. The guardian is this. If you're a rich man and you have a house and you don't want thieves to break in, you have to hire a guard. The guard will not sleep. The guard will always be going around your house watching for an enemy or an intruder, and you drive him away. And God says, we as Christians should be always watchful, always guiding all around us. Guide around you every day. God, watchful means guiding around you. And also it means be alert. Be what?
Be alert.
Alert. Amen. Alert. If you are alert, nothing will take you back. By chance. A person who's alert, who's watchful, nothing will take him by what? Chance. For he, before that thing comes to you, you know where it's coming from. You know how to dodge it. And if you are going to fight it, you know how to stand and what? Fight it. Because you are alert. When Jesus says, be watchful, is what he's saying. A Christian should be guiding himself. A Christian ought to be alert every day. Be alert. Not only that, be vigilant. It also means what? Be vigilant. You remember? Be sober. Be vigilant. The adversary, the opposer, the one who hates you. See, when you left, when Jesus saved you, you left his yard, you finished with him. But he hasn't finished with you yet.
That's right.
You have finished with him, but he has not finished with you yet. He's still hunting for you. He's chasing you around. And I tell you, you meet him every day. I meet him every day. Christians, we are not supposed to lie. Don't we lie? We are not supposed to be hypocrite, are we not? We are not supposed to be deceptive, are we not? We are supposed to forgive because God has forgiven us. We must also learn to what? Forgive. Do we forgive? Somebody here, we are hiding. I can't forgive him. And if I can forgive him, I can't forget. When Jesus said he had forgotten your sins from west to what? East, he wouldn't remember them anymore. But you say, oh, that's why I say, be alert. Be watchful. Be guided. Now also, be vigilant. See the Jehovah Witness. You know the Jehovah Witness? They have a pamphlet they sell. It's called Awake. Have you seen one before? Awake. Awake. Yes. You remember? Yes. They sell that pamphlet. If you are really awoken, when they sell you the pamphlet, you say, no, I don't want it. And we Christians should always be awake. Don't sleep. It's true. He that keepeth Israel does not sleep nor what? Slumber. And spiritually, Christians, don't sleep. Be awake. Satan is working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. No vacation for Satan. So we need to be what? Awake. Now why did God say it? Make it my responsibility to be watchful. Can he keep me? Why should I be watchful? God said, I will keep you. I'll fight all the battle for you. But be on your guard too. Be alert. I will help you. But you have a responsibility. Friends, we have responsibility. It's not God's fault when Satan buffets us, when Satan knocks us down. No! It's not God's fault. It's our fault. Let me tell you something. When a man is living a victorious life, he's in for surprise. When a man is living a victorious life, he will be rejoicing every day. When a man is living a victorious life, Christ will be real. There will be no emptiness here. You will be filled up. You will never walk alone. No. You walk. Well, let's talk about divine power today. No. You walk with power from above. When a man lives a victorious life, he shall receive power. Yes. After the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the power of the Holy Spirit will be felt. You will not be the same. Walk with your chest out spiritually. You'll be bold in Christ. You'll be strong in the Lord. You'll feel you inside. Praise the Lord. This is true, my friend. My friend. You won't feel empty. Right. We are to be watchful. We are to be on our guard. We should be alert. We should be awake. Why? Satan is at work. I want you to take your Bible. First Peter. First Peter chapter 5. You see the same truth here. First Peter, please go to it. That's powerful. God's word. First Peter chapter 5. Please, have you seen it? See, if you see the first verse, casting all thy cares what? Upon me. For what? I care. After that, after you have cast all your cares upon, after that, this is what you need to do. We forget that what we caused the first one, but this second one buttressed the first one. It lifted it up.
Hey.
Want to see the care of God in your life? Cast it, cast it, cast it. But you want to know whether He cares. For you to know whether God cares, God is with you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be on your guard. Don't let Satan take advantage of you. Then you will know God cares. Praise the Lord. That's what he's saying here. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because you have an enemy. American, you are blessed, eh? You are blessed. Every American, when you wake up, don't say, I ain't got anything. You got plenty. Say, God, I thank you for being American.
Amen.
I'm also, when you're a Christian, thank you for saving my soul.
Yes, sir.
And thank you for allowing me to be born in what? It's a privilege if you are born here.
Right.
It's not your right.
Right.
It's a privilege. But if you live in a compound house, every house that you live in will have about 20 people living in there. The size of your building you have. Every American, that house you have, like my pastor's house here, 20 people will be living in that place. Friends and fools. Friends and what? You'll be watchful. Enemies are there. Friends are there. Those who want you to destroy you are there. So my Bible says we have an enemy. We have an adversary. Who is he? Satan! Satan! And he doesn't seek your welfare. He comes to want to destroy you, kill you. Lion, would like. You don't know anything. You see them in the zoo. When we hear about them in Africa, they have eaten the poor people.
Yes, sir.
You keep them in the zoo and watch them. They eat us. The boys. And that's the work of Satan. If you know who he is, you'll be on your guard.
Yes, sir.
If you know who he is, you'll be vigilant. You'll be alert.
Yeah.
God said, he doesn't want your spiritual welfare. As you want to move forward, he will cripple you. He wants to destroy you. Friends, Satan is real. We sing the song, everybody ought to know who Jesus is. I want to tell you tonight, everybody ought to know who Satan is. When you know who he is, you know how to be alert. How to run away from him. He said we have enemy. He's like a roaring lion. Always. Seeking to destroy. And in one place he said, we are not ignorant of his what? Devices. He has many strategies. strategies of getting S. Let me tell you what, Sita. When I came to America, it's something I'm praying against. America is a blessed country. And you people are blessed, and you bless me. People are given to me. But God, don't let that keep me from praying.
Amen.
Don't let that ruin me. Don't let material things ruin me, God.
Right.
The devices of Satan to get me. He showed me one. When I came to America, I would go out winning souls. Winning souls. Winning souls. You know where I used to go to? Where black people are.
Yeah.
People like me. They call it project. Yeah. I'll go and win souls. I'll go and win souls. And one time, I went to the project to win souls. And it started raining heavily, heavily. And I hid my Bible here so that the rain wouldn't beat my Bible. And I started walking in the rain. I didn't know where to go. And I had no car. So I was walking wet. And a man drove by. He's called Hughes Davis. And when he passed me in the car, he stopped. Then he backed down. He said, "Are you Solomon?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Solomon, what are you doing in the rain?" I said, "I went to project. And then to," he said, "For what?" I said, "To witness, and I'm coming." "And you didn't?" I said, "I have nowhere to stay. I'm afraid." I was wet. Then he opened his car. I didn't want to go in because I was wet. He said, "Come on in." When I went to his car, I saw the man cry with tears. With tears, with tears. And then that was on Thursday. By Friday, he brought me a car.
Amen.
My first car in America. He brought me a car. And he told, I was on scholarship working, you're not supposed to work. He told them, "You pay for the insurance, you pay for everything. Go win souls." When I got the car, I learned how to drive.
Yeah.
I was driving. Can you imagine me driving an American car? Then Saturday, I washed the car, cleaned the car. Instead of going so winning, I'll be washing the car. And in the evening, once you will be going so winning, I'll be driving around Chattanooga. Like all Americans, I want to be like them. Then one day, I parked the car where every student parked the car in a big rain, with big wind. And there was a tree. It didn't fall on any car except my car. Boom! You know, when I had that car, I woke up. I live on the fourth floor. I woke up and look at the car and smile. Never had one. Then when the wind blew and then the tree fell on my car. Only my car. I wept. I cried. But underneath it, God was telling me.
Yeah.
It was giving because he went so winning. Now you are no more going what?
Yeah.
So
yeah. Right.
You are now riding the car. I'll take it from you.
Yeah.
We are not ignorant of what? Devices.
Right.
What I didn't know was the man had insured the car. Within 3 weeks, he gave me another car. Now I'm so winning every day.
Hey!
Now I'm so winning every day. I learned quick.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Satan has devices.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said, "Watch out for them."
Yes, sir.
"Be alert. Be watchful. They'll get you."
Yes.
When you're reading your Bible, instead you want to be spiritually matured, you divert your mind, distract you, distract you. One preacher was preaching today. God has shown him how important to pray as a family. He said, we won't pray, we will read our Bible in the morning, we don't read in the morning, but in the evening, we made up our mind to read our Bible and pray with my family. But he said, something will come up, we won't pray. Something will come up, we won't read the Bible. We are not ignorant of his what? Devices. That's the preacher. He got Satan good. But devices. He will get you. He will get you. He will get you. He got myself and my wife until we made our mind. Thank God he's keeping us. My wife and I said we would never open our door and talk to anybody until we talk to God first. Nobody. I don't know who you are. Until we talk to God first and read our Bible, my door will never be opened. I won't talk to anybody. Friends, we have a battle to fight. We have a struggle. But we'll win. In Jesus, be watchful. His devices are very subtle. He's deceptive. But they are, we can identify them. We can identify them. 3 ways. The world. Love not the world. If any man love the world, the love of God is not where? Plain. Black and white. It's in the Bible. If any man love the world, the love of God is not where? I thank God for you Americans. It's difficult to be in America and not love the world. Malls here and here, everything in the mall, very attractive. But fall in love with them, the world had gotten you. Friends, the lust of the flesh. Paul said it. In my flesh dwelleth no what? Only sin. Our greatest enemy is this. And Satan uses this as a weapon to fight me. No wonder Paul, this same Paul said, I die daily. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not what? That I in me might be crucified. Friends, be dead to self. Amen. Be dead to the eye. You're on the path of victory. Is he working in you like he's working in me, Satan? First John, let's go there. I want you to see it. First John chapter 2. I want to read that again. First John. Hey, look at this. Look at it. Verse 15. First John chapter 2 verse. Love not the world, neither the things that are what? If any man, love the world, the love of the Father is not where? In him. They can go together. And then he says, for all that is in the world, here, all that is here, the loss of what? The loss of the flesh. The loss of what? I must control my eyes. Be careful, little eye, what you see. And also, what he's saying, the pride of what? I want to be. When you see a man who is not satisfied with what, somebody preach about himself, preach about being satisfied of yourself. Is that right? We must be content for what we are in Christ. Pride of life, that is destructive. Watch for. Second thing to watch for. First, Satan. Formula. Second thing. Temptation. Temptation. Friend, you'll be tempted. We don't look for temptation. Temptation looks for us.
Right.
Jesus said, I want us to read it. Mark 14. That's the Bible. Mark 14. Mark chapter 14, the book of Mark. Mark 14, verse 38. I read. Mark chapter 14, verse 38. Watch ye and what? Lest ye enter into what? If we don't pray, if we are not alert, temptation. God doesn't, He doesn't lead us into temptation. No. Our own lust. We fall into temptation. Watch and pray that you fall not into temptation. Friends, if we don't pray, when temptation comes, we will fall. Prayer is power. Prayer defends. He defends us. He does not only defend, it's a weapon to fight every temptation. Oh yes. Watch and what? Pray. We should be watchful. So that we fall not into what? If we are not watching and seeking God's help in prayer, we should seek God's help every day. Christian, pray. God's help. God help me. I'm weak. You are strong. Uphold me. Every day. And seek God's help. Divine help. Help from above. To help you overcome temptation. We come by ourselves. If you are going to overcome temptation, it must be help from where? Above. And this help will come to us through what? Prayer. Watch and pray. We must seek God's help in prayer. We'll not even notice temptation when it comes if you don't pray. You wouldn't even know it. It is when you are falling into it. Deep. Before you know, I'm in trouble. When you pray, you know what God does? He opens your spiritual eyes. Your spiritual eyes are open. When temptation is coming, regardless of the form, you see it. And you run away from it. Praise the Lord. Friends, oh, we need more help from God. We need more help. After salvation, we need God's help. No wonder Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, who is my what? Source of what? Strength. He should be our source of strength. The second, first Satan, the second, first reason why we should be watchful, alert, vigilant, and be on our guard, because of Satan. Second, because of what? Temptation. Third, be watchful for apathy. You know, apathy. You know what that is? Maybe you can explain that to me. Indifference? Is that it? Apart indifference. See, now watch this. A Christian who leaves the house without reading the Bible, without praying, and he doesn't know it. Something had happened, but he doesn't what? Know it. He's in trouble. That apathy, indifference. I mean, when a Christian, he wakes up, no time for the Bible, no time for prayer with God, and you walk out. You are open target. For who? Satan. Open target for sin. Open target. Oh, yes. Apathy, indifference. See, some sin are hard to notice. Some sin, they are very hard to notice. You won't know it is sinful until it grows, until it hits you. Man who wakes up from his house, he says he's a Christian, he never talked to God, he never read the Bible, he never prayed, and he walks. There's nothing wrong, something's wrong. He will never know something wrong until Satan what? Hits. When trouble comes, that's when he starts running. We can avoid that. Yes, we can. When a person is apathetic, when a person is indifferent, you know what that means? He's no more sensitive to sin. He's no more sensitive to sin. But when you draw close to God and you pray and you read the Bible, when sin is coming, the moment it comes, you won't be the same. You know something has gone out of you. You know, I'm not right. Misery will be here. Emptiness will be here. When you don't read your Bible, when you read it, and you depend on God. My friend, when any sin comes into your life, you know it. That's where you run to confess. Now, when there's apathy, you won't even know. You won't even notice it. You're not sensitive to sin anymore. May God help us. Friends, we need help. We shouldn't live our Christian life drudgery like that. Our Christian life shouldn't be empty like this. We should be on fire for God. We should walk the street and people say, this is a man of God.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Yes, my friend. When we are watchful, whenever you walk, people will sense God in you.
Yeah.
Right. That's a man of God. You don't have to say, I'm a Christian. They will see it.
Yeah.
No. People call them Christian. They didn't call themselves Christians. They observe their lives. When they see God in your life, witnessing becomes easy. You see, Revelation 3. You know that church? Let's go there. Pastor, it's time, isn't it? I'm preaching too long. Revelation 3. Revelation 3. Please, let's go there. Revelation 3. I'll read verse 1 to 3. Please look at it. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things say he that had seven spirits of God and seven stars. I know thy works. Thou hast named that thou livest, and I am dead. See, apathy, They think they are living, but they are, in a real sense, what? Dead. Dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore now how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. But you see the accusation he said. This church, the people in the church thought they were alive, but they were what? Insensitive. Apathy. We think we are living Christians, we are dead. Sin at rudeness. And I want to stop here. Our spiritual life, how is it? We are so indifferent. If you will admit, you're cold inside here. You're cold. I'm cold. Satan has gotten me. I should be warmed, fire up for God. Yes. But I'm cold like cucumber spiritually. May God help us. We need help. We need help. We need to be watchful. And lastly, if you are in a church like this, thank God, false teachers are around. Be watchful for false teachers. Deceivers. Deceivers! They are around. They will deceive you. Listen, Satan has arranged it that if we are not careful, our own mind will deceive us. Our own mind will deceive us. We need to be watchful. We need to be alert. We need to be on our guard because of Satan. Temptation, indifference, coldness. May God wake us up spiritually. Tonight, one thing I desire, one thing I desire, I want to be on fire for God. I want to live for Him. I want that to be my foremost goal. Live for God. And be a victorious Christian. I want God to help me. What about you? Pastor, would you come?